I'm Dave Heller, and this is Newsworks Tonight. Ahead this evening, scores from New Jersey's newest standardized test are in, and the results are lackluster. First, the New Jersey Senate votes to override Governor Chris Christie's veto of a bill allowing law enforcement to be involved when someone attempts to have mental health records erased in order to apply for a gun permit. WHYY's Phil Gregory reports.
It's the first time either house of the legislature has voted to overturn a Christie veto. Senator Kip Bateman was one of three Republicans who joined Democrats in supporting the 27-12 vote.
When you go against them, there's a lot of pressure. And, you know, nobody likes to go against their governor, but, you know, he's not always right.
Senate President Steve Sweeney says he has an enormous amount of respect for the Republicans who voted for the override.
I'm sure that they're going to have some rough days ahead the way this administration reacts when you don't obey.
The Assembly also has to approve the override for the legislation to take effect, and there's no indication when that vote will be scheduled. From the New Jersey desk, I'm Phil Gregory, WHYY News.
There was another twist in Pennsylvania's Porngate scandal today. State Attorney General Kathleen Kane released another round of pornographic emails, messages that were sent to the private email account of a state Supreme Court justice. WHYY's Katie Culinary reports that today is also Kane's first day with a suspended law license.
The emails range from off-color jokes to photos of naked women to a video of a young woman ripping open her blouse at her family's dinner table. They were sent to Supreme Court Justice Michael Akin's private email account, but he did not send or forward them. Kane calls the emails offensive and says she released them to prove the state's Judicial Conduct Board acted wrongly last year when it dismissed complaints about the emails. At the time, the board said Akin could have told those sending the messages to knock it off, but his conduct did not merit punishment. Chuck Ardo is Kane's spokesman.
She finds them much more troubling. I think she looks at him from a female perspective, which does not seem to have happened in the prior reviews.
Akin's lawyer did not respond to her request for comment. The latest email dump comes as Kane's law license is officially suspended because of the criminal charges against her. Asked about the timing, Ardo says the two events are unrelated. Kane says even without her law license, her office will continue to function. Duquesne law professor Bruce Ledowitz disagrees. He says the state attorney general is different from a lawyer who represents the governor, for example.
That lawyer represents the governor, but when a deputy attorney general goes into court, that deputy attorney general represents us and is standing in for the attorney general who represents us. So when she lost her license to practice law, we lost all our attorneys in court.
Katie Culinary, WHYY News.
Montgomery County is one of the wealthiest in Pennsylvania, and with the third most voters of any county in the state, it's also one of the most politically important. In the last election cycle, control of the three-member county commission went to Democrats for the first time in 140 years. WHYY's Laura Benchoff reports on the majority party candidates and their Republican challengers.
If you're trying to pick among Montgomery County Commissioner candidates this November, you won't find too much variation in their tax plans.
I am the only candidate to actually vote against a tax increase.
I've pledged to avoid any tax increase.
We have a record of actually balancing budgets without raising taxes.
The two Democratic incumbents are running on their record of fiscal management. Josh Shapiro and Val Arcouche say the Republicans who were in charge before left the county's accounts in bad shape.
We inherited a mess when we took over 4 years ago, five straight years of budget deficits.
I think it's important to note that because of the fiscal management of this administration, we have been able to restore our reserve fund.
Whether Shapiro, whose name has been floated as a possible candidate for PA Attorney General next year, will stick around for a full term is an open question.
Yeah, I got elected in 2012, and ever since I've gotten here, people have wondered what else I was going to run for. And I think what I've shown each and every time those discussions have come up, just how committed I am to this job.
You'll notice that's not a yes or no. If Shapiro does run, local judges will appoint a replacement. To get a majority, Democrats chipped away at converting moderate voters over the last couple decades. Marcel Groen is the Democratic Committee Chair for Montgomery County and the state of Pennsylvania.
Montgomery County voters are fundamentally socially moderate and fiscally conservative. And we used to call those people Rockefeller Republicans. Now we call them Democrats.
At the end of 2014, Montgomery County had 207,000 Republicans and 252,000 registered Democrats. By law, there are three commissioners with one spot reserved for the minority party. During the May primary, the Republican camp splintered. Joe Gale, a 26-year-old with no political experience, ran without party backing and knocked party-endorsed candidate Scott Zelov off the ballot by a couple thousand votes. Gale's main issue?
The Republican Party endorsed a board member of Planned Parenthood, and that was one of the driving forces that led me to run. I ran as a pro-life candidate.
County commissioners don't take much action on abortion policy, but Gale says it's about connecting with voters on values.
Moral character is a huge role in any elected official.
He says running as a political outsider has made him a target and that the party's been harassing his donors.
They're embarrassed by the primary, and they want to make an example of me. I'm not one of their hand-picked puppets that they can control.
Montgomery County Republican Chair Mike Varib says that's not true.
No, those claims are ludicrous. His comments are ludicrous. And I think he needs to start putting up the information that substantiates what he's saying.
Varib is backing Steve Tolbert, an Army reservist originally from Lower Merion, who teaches economics at two area colleges. He won a spot on the party ticket in the May primary. Tolbert, like all of the candidates, is running on a platform of fiscal conservatism. He says his time in Iraq and its effect on his small business were the crucible for his campaign of, quote, selfless service. Thanks to the economic recession,
literally while I'm serving in a war zone, my business failed.
Tolbert has bounced back and is currently on the Board of Commissioners for West Norton Township, but would step down if elected to a countywide post. With their separate campaigns, the Republicans seem to have given up on winning a majority. County GOP Chair Mike Varib doesn't dispute that.
Well, I think if we had a ticket working together, we could. I think this year the onus is going to be on the Democrats to actually come out and vote.
He says this November, the Republicans are focusing on winning back some judgeships instead. I'm Laura Benshoff, WHYY News.
In today's headlines, the healthcare worker who was quarantined at a New Jersey hospital last year because she had contact with Ebola patients in West Africa is suing Governor Chris Christie and health officials. Attorneys for Casey Hickox filed a federal civil rights lawsuit in Newark earlier today. Hickox is a nurse working with Doctors Without Borders in Sierra Leone during last year's deadly Ebola outbreak. She was stopped and questioned over several hours when she arrived at Newark Liberty International before being quarantined in a tent outside of a hospital in Newark. Governor Tom Wolf is warning that he may halt horse racing in Pennsylvania this week because a state budget stalemate has compounded the troubles of the state racing fund. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports that Wolf Press Secretary Jeff Sheridan says the administration will shut down racing October 30th if a solution isn't reached before then. The fund pays for licensing, safety, equine laboratory operations, and drug testing of horses, and is funded through a tax on horse racing wagers, which have been steadily declining for years. 70 degrees at 6:14. You're listening to NewsWorks Tonight on WHYY-FM. Thanks for being a YStream supporter of WHYY. I'm Dave Heller. Let's pause now for some music. Here's the late guitarist Michael Hedges with Aerial Boundaries. Michael Hedges with the title track to his album, Aerial Boundaries. You're listening to NewsWorks Tonight on Pledge Free YStream.
Penn Medicine and Virtua proudly support WHYY. Together, they are committed to delivering advanced healthcare options to South Jersey. By combining Penn Medicine's research and specialty care with Virtua's comprehensive health and wellness services, this partnership brings Penn and Virtua together to deliver cancer and neuroscience services to South Jersey residents, close to home. More information is available at virtua.org/pennmedicine. That's virtua.org/pennmedicine.
The Philadelphia Foundation supports WHYY. The Philadelphia Foundation helps private foundations by partnering on administration and grant making. Private foundations also can establish a donor-advised fund to save time and reduce costs. What's more, the Philadelphia Foundation also offers solutions when a private foundation has run its course. The Philadelphia Foundation, 215-563-6417 or philofound.org.
Temple University's Fox School of Business supports WHYY, offering executives an MBA program that allows them to think outside the office. In one weekend per month for 16 months, the Fox Executive MBA can help professionals take their career to the next level without taking time out of their work week. With career coaching and leadership development, the Fox Executive MBA can help students be competitive in the business world. Information at fox.temple.edu/EMBA.
Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Results are back from new standardized tests taken last year by students in New Jersey. Helping us to make the grade is NJ Spotlight founding editor and education reporter John Mooney. John, welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight.
My pleasure.
Apparently, they didn't offer any extra credit in this exam. The raw results aren't so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different metric now. New Jersey has started with the new testing. It's an online test. The acronym is PARCC, P-A-R-C-C, and about a dozen states go through it. And this is the first year we've had results. And with a new metric, you're often going to get lower than expected scores. And New Jersey was no exception. We're roughly, 40, 50% of the kids were testing at grade level in terms of this new test in language arts and math, where it used to be a good majority. And the process will start as schools start to adapt to the test and the kids start adapting to the test, and I think you will see them pick up. But first year is often a cliff, and New Jersey was no exception.
Indeed, State Education Commissioner David Hespe cautioned that one has to be careful comparing this test to what it replaced. What did it replace?
New Jersey had a series of tests. They were called NJAS in grades 3 through 8, and then we had a high school test that was given in 11th grade. You know, each of them were about 10 years old in different forms, and they had become known as not being terribly difficult tests. And the new test is clearly raising the bar considerably, which makes those comparisons very difficult.
Was that less than challenging exam part of the calculus for adopting this partnership for assessment of readiness for college and careers?
The sense was coming back from colleges and employers that we weren't asking enough of our high school kids. The United States deals with that as we throw a test at them, and which presumably is, as you set these expectations, kids rise to them. So that there was a big impetus to how this came about. And to be honest, I expect that over the course of the next few years, this test is going to, questions will start being raised whether it's high enough, and you'll see some ratcheting up too. You know, it's a process and a cycle that New Jersey and other states go through every few years.
Nonetheless, are fingers being pointed at who may be accountable for the test not being better than what one might have hoped for this first year?
No, I think I don't think anybody was surprised by this. Now, what we haven't seen yet is some individual school scores and student scores. Those have not come back yet, and that's a few weeks away. And that may get a little dicier. When schools that are used to being high-achieving are all of a sudden this new test is saying, well, maybe only half your kids are hitting grade level in some of these areas, there may be some pushback there, and that is also part of the process.
Is a threshold PARCC score a contingency for graduation?
Not yet, not purely. And the way they're doing it in the high school is subject areas, not grades. So in math, it's geometry and Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. And eventually the state is going to require a certain number of these tests to be passed to graduate. It is a threshold that can allow you to hit the mark, but New Jersey for the first few years is also allowing kids to pass with certain scores on SATs or ACTs. There's a whole set of different options for kids to hit the graduation mark in the next few years. But ultimately, this will be an exit test.
an exit test, but could it also be an entrance test for higher education, much like the SAT?
Some of the colleges are going to be using this right out of the gate as a placement test. It won't be getting you into the school like an SAT, but once you're in the school, instead of having to take an extra test on whether you need to have remedial help or the like, they'll be able to use this test. I know the community colleges are going to do that starting next year, and some of the public colleges have said they will do that. So it will have an impact, but again, we need to sort of see how that fares out, because if enough questions are raised about how good a measure it is, then there may be some adjustments along the way. We really have a very incomplete picture at this point.
So at this point, with some 11 states in the D.C. area participating, is the notion to expand to ultimately include the entire nation?
No, I think it's going the other way. And that number was twice that at one point. A lot of folks are leery about anything national these days when it comes to education, especially on the conservative side. So I don't see this becoming a nationwide test just yet.
John, thanks so much for shedding light on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you, David.
John Mooney is NJ Spotlight founding editor and education reporter. You can hear more of our conversation at newsworks.org. With many college grads taking decades off to pay student loans, Philadelphia City Council will soon hold hearings on college affordability. Details from WHYY's Tom McDonald.
College student Manny Martinez says for a person of limited means, earning a degree puts you in overwhelming debt.
Student loans are sharecropping because we are supposed to finish a college education with the expectation that from that moment we can begin our lives with the tools that we need. But instead, we have a burden on our backs that often does not allow us to raise the standards of our living.
Philadelphia District Attorney Seth Williams says more than two decades after becoming an attorney, his debts still haunt him.
Anything that we can do so that we can attract people to want to help our city, to help solve its problem, to keep the wonderful, intelligent young people that come to our city from all over the world, to keep them here so we don't have brain drain, and allow the best to remain here. We need to study that.
Justice Freeman says his parents are working two jobs each to send him to Temple University.
Someone with a liberal arts background trying to get into public service and public works, we don't really have much incentive to do that, really, because people that go into public works don't have the income as people in the private sector do.
City Council doesn't have much direct power over these issues. Upcoming hearings will look at things such as debt forgiveness for people entering public service and subsidizing student loans. I'm Tom McDonald, WHYY News.
And finally this evening, in case you aren't feeling particularly enthused about going to the polls for next month's election, here's a motivator. You could win cash. The Philadelphia Citizen, an online news and civic advocacy organization, is offering one randomly selected voter in Philadelphia $10,000. The money put up by the Pamela and A.J. Razu Foundation is meant to spur higher voter turnout. A paltry 27% of eligible voters came out for the May primary, and that's in a year when they were choosing mayoral candidates. Apparently, this is legal. So the Philadelphia Citizen assures us, though similar tactics were criticized when they were employed in a Board of Education election in Los Angeles. One columnist for the LA Times said it demeans the civic process and called it, quote, one of the worst ideas put forward in a long time. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Benyakov and Kimberly Haas, with help today from Brett Rader. Find us on iTunes or check in at newsworks.org. As we approach the third anniversary of Superstorm Sandy, talk in New Jersey has turned to how to weather the next major storm. That plan is far from settled, as we'll hear on tomorrow's show. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.